messages. Don't touch that dial. Donors to KHSU include the Black Fawn Gallery. This August, the Black Fawn is showing paintings by Washington-based artists Arta Marie and the late Jeff Russell of Eureka. The show runs August 5th through the 26th, located at the corner of 2nd and G in Old Town Eureka. The gallery is open Thursday through Sunday, 11 to 7. The gallery also is on Facebook. You can learn more at blackfawnart.com. And today's day sponsors are Carrie and Joseph Charkoff. And they say, as part of our 52nd anniversary, we extend our deepest appreciation to KHSU for presenting National Public Radio to the community. A fabulous resource we have truly appreciated for more than half a century. Thank you.
Thank you for staying with KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler. It's Tuesday, the 15th of August, and this is Art Waves. And today we're going to space. San Francisco-based satellite imaging company Planet Labs was founded in 2010. The same year, Humboldt State University fine arts graduate Forrest Stearns received his MFA in illustration from Academy of Art in San Francisco. And it was 3 years later that Forrest met Planet Labs co-founder Robbie Shingler and proposed the idea of putting art on the company's satellites. Forrest Stearns was formerly an oft-exhibited artist here in Humboldt County, whose work, among other places, has been associated with the artist group Empire Squared. At Planet Labs, Forrest started and directs its Artist-in-Residence program. And he's my guest by phone. And today we discuss these satellites. And we start with the Artist-in-Residency program.
And we, over 4 years now, have had 11 artists in residence come and work with us at Planet Labs. We are based in San Francisco. So we host a local artist or an artist that comes to San Francisco for 3 months at a time. And the goal of the Artist in Residence program has a lot of verticals, but most importantly, we want to instill an artist shoulder to shoulder with the engineers here that are building the spacecrafts, with the finance people and the marketing people and the advertising people and the designers that are selling Earth imagery and working with our product and are very mission-driven. We want an artist to be there amongst them to have them be more permissive in their own creativity and to believe in themselves to go make their solutions more abstract and weird and unique and organic and agile. You know, we are a startup in San Francisco, and having an artist really makes people realize that they can be weird, too.
That's interesting. So I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. You place, say a painter comes in, you know, one of the 11 artists who you have had, and stands alongside or connects with somebody who is actually building the satellites and somehow
Correct.
Or other. Okay. And in there.
Well, and the simplicity of that is right now our artist in residence is here working in her workspace, which is 4 feet from the door to the manufacturing lab. So everyone that goes to build satellites walks right past her making beautiful artwork, and they stop and talk to her, and they ask her questions about her work, and they pull her into the manufacturing area and say, hey, this is what we're doing. So what we've done is ultimately created a conversation between the artists and the engineers where they're both informing each other's work.
And what is she doing? What is this artist in residence, and what is her name? And
Yeah. Her name is Richelle Gribble, R-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, Gribble, G-R-I-B-B-L-E. Mm-hmm. And she goes by the moniker of Nomadic Artist. And she does a lot of multimedia work based on networks and systems. She is very, very prolific in going to artist-in-residence programs. And so she has gone from program to program to program in the last number of years and is working with us for 3 months. And then she's off to Vermont for another one. And she really believes that these residencies help her own practice, help her open her eyes to new perspectives and, of course, networks of different people, hopefully intelligent people that are doing great things, but sometimes people that don't care about art, and maybe she's influencing them to care a little more, and they're influencing her to care about what they're working on.
So potentially what is happening is somebody who is designing and manufacturing a satellite might have a conversation with her, and they might, as a result, be prompted to think differently about where to place certain mechanisms of the satellite or certain parts of it?
Certainly. And, you know, to step back from that one step, they may not say, hey, let's make this circuit a little bit different because I just saw some epic art. They may think like, wow, the system that we're creating in this spaceship has a lot to do with the system that she just described in this painting or this sculpture. Wow, I'm going to think about the solution I'm creating in a little bit more open way, in a little bit more transparent way, and get other people's involvement. And therefore, it just becomes a more, robust answer than just linear. And in this case, most aerospace companies are very, very hermetic and sterile. And we really believe, wholeheartedly believe, that by inserting the artists into these spaces, that it amplifies the thinking everywhere, from the CEO all the way down to the people that are screwing in the nuts and bolts and selling the data. You know, they're all inspired.
Now, I want to read an excerpt of, I was looking at more information about Planet Labs, and I found a June 2017, or, you know, an article written a couple of months ago in the Bloomberg Business Week.
Yeah.
And it was about the launch in India. Were you there for that launch?
Because I was not in India.
Okay.
No, but I did do a painting that went on that rocket.
Let me understand, just based on what they wrote, and then you can clarify. A part of it says, nestled alongside were around a dozen smaller satellites from universities, startups, and research groups. What made the launch a record were the 88 shoebox-size Dove satellites built by Planet Labs Incorporated.
Yeah.
So they launched then 2 months ago, 88 satellites?
Yeah. Yep. And since then, we've launched 48 satellites out of Baikonur in Kazakhstan, which is run by the Russian Space Agency, which is now called something else. But so we are constantly launching satellites. We make a lot of satellites, just like cell phones get outdated in hardware and software. We make satellites to image the whole Earth every day, and they have a lifespan of about 2 years, pretty much like the phone that you're speaking on. And when they get to the end of their life, they decline in orbit enough to re-enter the atmosphere, and they burn up.
Mm.
So every satellite that we put in space needs to burn up and become dust, so therefore it won't contribute to the space junk problem. But while they're up there, they're taking pictures of the whole Earth, and the goal is to take pictures of the whole Earth every day. You read about. Every one of those 88 satellites that was in that launch on the PSLV rocket was covered in artwork. And most of that artwork was done right here in-house by our friends and families and kids and grandmas. That I've had multiple art night parties where people come and do artwork on pre-printed sheets of paper, and I scan that and I laser etch those drawings right into the spaceships. So my daughter, before she was two, she had art on spaceships, and, you know, many people and family members now have art on these spaceships. So it's not just about me, and it's not just about my artwork. It's about me creating a vehicle for our community to put art in space and create the first art show in space as a community.
And so you mentioned you had art that was on one of those 88, or you personally?
Well, my artwork is on every single satellite in multiple ways.
Okay.
I've done lots of different illustrations that are all over the satellites. But in the case of the community's satellites, so the satellites are shoebox size, and mm-hmm. they have wings that come out of two of the sides, and maybe you've seen a picture of the satellite. So they've got these wings that come out that are solar panels. And on two of the sides, the sides are white, and they are powder-coated white and brushed on top of a brushed aluminum surface. So if it wasn't for me asking if I could put art on them, they'd be totally blank.
Right.
In most ways, shapes, or forms, that's totally fine for a spaceship to be totally white. Mm-hmm. But, of course, the weirdo artist pushing the buttons came in and said, hey, let's put art on your satellites. And they said, yeah. And 4 years later, we've put art on over 250 of these satellites. And how I do it is I laser etch the side panels of these satellites, and then we put them on, kind of like laser etching the doors of your car and then putting them on your car. So, yeah, it's as simple as that, or like the sides of a bus. And these satellites are very much shaped like a bus with a big window in the front that takes the photos.
Just to be clear, do the satellites, these shoebox satellites, are they put on a rocket that is launched and then they, once the rocket goes into space, then the satellites break away from it?
Correct.
That's how it works. Okay, and so they...
That's how it works. And that happens in two different ways. But you are envisioning exactly that. If, you know, you've seen a rocket launch, everybody has seen a video of a rocket launch, and like, it's great. It's a big plume of smoke. It's beautiful. They launch up and go into an arc. Those rockets need to go 7 kilometers a second, so 17,000 miles an hour in order to get out of the Earth's orbit. And so they either launch up and then the bottom of the rocket falls off when it gets out of fuel, and then the next stage burns, and then the next stage, depending on how high these rockets need to get. And so the top stage, the head of the rocket, is where our satellites are. And if they're going into a sun synchronous orbit, is the orbit that we need to get into, they are usually at about 500 miles off the Earth's surface, just outside of the Earth's atmosphere. And they're going 7 kilometers. So they will be in space, like I said, for 2 or 3 years, and then finally decay. And in that time, they're taking pictures the whole time.
Right.
And so in that case, they would all pop out in sequence. The 88 satellites went sun synchronous, and there's a beautiful video online of them all deploying all in one fell swoop. So imagine you were sitting in the back of a pickup truck with a Pez dispenser and popping out Pez every 10 seconds. The other way that we deploy satellites is we send them to the International Space Station through NASA. So this was a great way for us to prove that we were a well-established idea, is by proving it through the ISS. And the ISS is on a 52-degree inclination orbit around the Earth. It doesn't go over the poles. So therefore, those satellites wouldn't have the ability to take a picture of the whole Earth with, quote, fingers every single day. And those satellites go to the International Space Station and go through a process of being pulled out of the capsule, whether it be the SpaceX Dragon capsule or the Soyuz capsule or Orbital Insights NASA capsule. They get ingested into the ISS, and then the astronauts put them in this this deployment arm that pops out and then pops them out two at a time. So every day, two at a time. So instead of them all coming out in one line, we actually have more control of how evenly spaced they are in orbit.
Forrest Stearns, Artist in Residence Program Director for Planet Labs in San Francisco. You can find out more about this satellite imaging company and also the art program and its influence there by visiting planet.com. And you're listening to Art Waves on KHSU and khsu.org. I'm Wendy Butler. I don't think we ever talked about this. Now, I was looking at some of your other things that are online, such as your blog, which I don't know that you're keeping up with it, Draw Everywhere blog.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I haven't really worked on that blog since I've been an employee here.
Right. Well, I was looking at that and noticing that, well, for instance, the animals, the pictures of animals, you had done something on your blog. Well, you call it the illustrious works of Forrest Stearns, and part of what was up there was Animals of California. And so I'm just seeing fanciful looking, sort of like a fantasy, and also animals of all sorts. On the satellites, have you directed more abstract images, or what is it? What is the image, or images that we're seeing on the satellites?
That's a great question. That's a great question, and you're doing the right question by sleuthing first. So that most of the work that I did on my website is recent, right after when I was done with graduate school. So I was definitely putting up work to fish for any audience that was interested in my work. Mm-hmm. And then I went and worked at DeviantArt and got into the high-tech market. And through there, I found my way into venture capital markets, which put me right in Planet Labs 4 years ago.
Right.
And so with that said, the artwork that I do at Planet is still very much in line with the work that I've always done. It's very linear-based. It's very drawing-based. I still love to draw and can't get away from my graffiti, comic book, painterly, mm-hmm. Japanese line drawing influenced work. But to that extent, the first art show that I put in space was all about migratory animals.
Mm-hmm.
The paintings were 4 by 6 foot paintings of animals going from right to left. Actually, looking at all those paintings right now, they're in our mothership still. And I laser etched those paintings in the sides of the spacecraft because I wanted the symbolism and the marks on the first art show in space to be something that reminded us humans to be responsible and respectful of the Earth that we are stewarding all the time. And ultimately, animals watch humans every single day. And unfortunately, animals watch humans make terrible mistakes every single day and, you know, continue to ruin the environment and make bad choices for themselves. And so hopefully, you know, that first art in space could be some sort of memorandum of, wow, these animals are here too. Let's respect that always. And so the art show did start with something more, I guess, an abstract concept like that. But the mark making is still very similar, a little bit more realistic in this case, but still drawing animals, still mm-hmm. loving that stuff, always will. You know, I grew up in the mountains and went to school in Humboldt. Like, I have an affinity for nature. You can't get that out of me. So the art on the spaceships went from that, and then after I'd done these pieces and we'd launched a number of flocks of satellites, a couple dozen, I asked my team here, you know, hey, will you all get involved and do some art with me? And they said, no, you're the artist. We make the satellites, or we sell the data, mm-hmm. or we do everything. We're a team, right? And I said, well, of course we are, but I'm not going to take that as an answer. So I asked everyone for their most inspiring quotes or their favorite haikus or small phrases. And I got some really beautiful philosophical answers. I made a spreadsheet because everyone here speaks in spreadsheets,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't. I'm alien to spreadsheets, but, you know, I learned. And so I made a beautiful spreadsheet, and everyone, a whole number of people gave quotes. I think about 80 quotes were given to me. Some really amazing ones from Shakespeare and Hemingway and old school haikus. And then there was some just crazy stupid things, like, help, I'm stuck in a satellite factory. Or, who let the doves out? Like, we make satellites called doves. So someone who let the doves out. And I didn't want to censor this team. You know, this was the first time that I got them to be creative. So I hand wrote all of these beautiful quotes in my handwriting. So, you know, going back to my lettering and graffiti roots, mm-hmm. and being able to hand write on the sides of spaceships and laser etch them. And my favorite one ever was, if you've ever seen the movie Jurassic Park with Samuel L. Jackson, right? In Jurassic Park, he's about ready to turn the power back on and the dinosaurs are chasing everybody. And he goes, hold on to your butts, in his quintessential Samuel L. Jackson voice. And so my buddy writes that on the spreadsheet. And of course I have to write it. So I write it on the side of a spaceship, and no one had seen it and already given me any cause to be worried about it. But then one day a Twitter picture comes out from an astronaut on the International Space Station. And one of our satellites had popped out of the deployer, and the wings popped open right out of deployment, and this never happens. And the astronaut took a picture of it. So the first picture I got of the satellite from the International Space Station over Earth, and it says, hold on to your butts, right? And I saw this picture via social media, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to get fired. Like, my job here is over. And then, you know, the executives and different people came through and patted me on the back. They're like, congratulations, you got that crazy stuff through the pipeline and got it into space. Like, way to go, way to push the envelope. And instead of getting, you know, fired and heckled, I was congratulated by pushing the envelope. So, you know, that's the environment I work in here. Is everyone's pretty awesome. Everyone's pretty damn smart. And I'm not the most creative person here, which is the most important thing I can say, is that everybody here proves to be just as creative as the artists that can draw well. You know, this team is selling data to people around the world and creating markets and creating spaceships and figuring out how to talk to them in space while they fly so fast. You know, that's creativity. So I'm just adding to it and hoping that they get more inspiration to be creative as they do it.
Now, you said that the satellites take pictures from all over the Earth, of all aspects of our Earth. Do you ever see any of the photographs that these satellites have taken?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, we run an open Slack channel where the team that's in charge of gathering these images, I mean, hundreds of thousands of images are coming down a day now, where at first it was hundreds or even dozens of images a day. So we would all see them and pore over them, say, wow, look at that glacier, or wow, look at that road through the desert. You can totally see that. Or look at Burning Man over the next couple days as it builds. Or wow, this forest fire is really devastating. Hopefully they can get it out. Or wow, look at this diaspora coming out of Sudan. Like, look at this camp just being built. You know, maybe we can help with this, or maybe we can help with that. So we do our best to pore over the imagery, and I get a lot of inspiration from it. It's a total honor that I can pore over it. I can dive right into it.
And speaking of inspiration, that's why I was wondering, do you ever get inspired from any of these photographs to turn those into images that you are going to etch on the side of satellites?
I have a few people have given me their favorite images, and we've figured out ways to make them black and white and laser etch them. More often, I get inspired by them and paint them and make abstractions. You know, I make a painted version of how beautiful a photograph is from space. And I've also done a series of paintings here that are 4x4 foot paintings of the terrestrial landscape. So how you and I would see Yosemite and other UNESCO sites, and put them all around the office, because we felt that by showing people pictures of the Earth at 300 miles or 500 miles, it's hard to connect with that. You know, when you're on Google Earth and you don't connect with anything unless it's your neighborhood you grew up in. But if you looked at a picture or a painting of Yosemite or Lake Como or these other beautiful places, you'd say, wow, those are the places that I want to help save. Those are the beautiful places that we're fighting for. You know, so it's a lot of through lines that we try to create with the creativity here.
Do you ever want to etch pictures of people, faces?
Sometimes, yeah. I've put my eyes and my daughter's eyes on a spaceship one time. Mm-hmm. A nice bitmapped version of my eyes and my daughter's eyes, because I wanted to, you know, put that in space. But yeah, possibly. And we've had a lot of people draw human forms in space, you know, on these spaceships. And there's been artists in residence that have done pieces of art that really celebrate different people that are thought leaders and science leaders and spiritual leaders. And we have those paintings up in our offices that have to do with something with science that we work in. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just wondering, on the off chance that, you know, speaking of different beings that might see this art in space. Well, I'm thinking, if it's a being that isn't necessarily from the Earth, they see the satellites, they see the art, you know, they'll see the animals, and they'll see, you know, other more abstract imagery. And then I was just wondering if they would see people too, people on the side of satellites.
Totally. There's a number of illustrations that are of people, you know, but like I said, the third series was me opening this up to our community, this challenge of, hey, now you make art with me. Now you trust me. Now I've been here for a number of years, part of the fabric of this company. And, you know, we've got lots of funny pictures up in space, everything from graffiti to animals, to abstract things, to symbols, to my daughter was drawing and scribbling before she was two, and put that in space. And I've challenged a lot of classes, like children's classes, to do art for me. These pictures, they may not be technically good, but there's some soul in the reason why these people are doing these pieces. And that's the kind of stuff that I'll fly in space. You know, I've created a job for myself where I'm the curator of the art show. So I get to laser etch whatever comes across my desk that I really think resonates with our common conversation and is really holistically part of our mission-driven work.
Mm-hmm. I did get a chance to look at the Galactic Jungle Art Cars from 2015.
Yeah, nice.
Those were pretty wild. Wow. Are you doing any art shows outside of your work at Planet Labs?
I do a lot of outside projects. I work here 32 hours a week, so I can have a day off and do freelance work and kind of still chase my own muse, because I feel like that's really important as an artist. I still want to be a practicing artist and not just an art director and just a corporate, a corporate tool to make creative things happen here. I don't do a ton of, I've had some art shows here and there, I guess probably since you and I have talked, but not like I used to, not like Empire Squared where we'd have an art show every month.
Right.
But I still power through sketchbooks every month and I still draw a ton, and now I'm drawing with my kid a lot and I still do lots of freelance work just to keep my own sights sharp. You know, I gotta stay good.
Forrest Stearns, who has in effect continued to produce the largest known art exhibit in space. He's the Artist in Residence Program Director at San Francisco's Planet Labs. Art Waves is produced for KHSU at Humboldt State University, broadcast weekly on Tuesdays at 1:30 p.m. Also available continuously online at khsu.org. And you can also download a podcast of the program from iTunes. I'm Wendy Butler, this show's producer, engineer, and host. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Bebop, the cool school, hard bop, 60s blue notes, the young lions. If it's straight ahead, you'll hear it on Gone Sides. Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 right here at 90.5 KHSU, your jazz station.
Arriving at Radiolab, a full immersion curiosity joyride.
Wow.
No.
Yes.
It was like,
pow.
Your body jumps.
Jumps and jumps. It's not smooth.
It's 11 million miles an hour.
Chup, 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 splat.
It was like,
what is wrong with you?
Tuesday evening at 7 on KHSU.
For Black people, you become exhausted with trying to be accepted for who you are, and then seeing when a white person or a person with privilege or power does those things or mirrors your image and then is glorified, and now that is validated. And yet, even in that system, even as that is happening, you're still not valid. You know, it's a constant fight, and I think that that's why oppressed people hold on to their traditions and their customs and their things and become upset when they're appropriated and taken on by dominant cultures. That's the issue.
To hear the rest of this conversation, go to the Thursday Night Talk page at khsu.org.
Title. Oh Lord, don't let them drop that atomic bomb on me.
let him drop that bomb.